You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Pick up our threads of thinking now. In the first two lessons, we have learned that the ministry of our Lord in the days of his flesh was sent to none save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And just prior to his ascension, he called his own together, and he said unto them, As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So at that point in time, as far as the revealed plan of God was concerned, only the nation of Israel was in view. Hence, during that 40 days after the resurrection and prior to the ascension, we have three things emphasized that he did. First off, he gave them commandments of authority in the work that they were to do. Secondly, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, inasmuch as they were to be witnesses of the resurrection. They were not to tell about the resurrection because somebody said so, but because they were witnesses, they handled, they felt, they fellowshipped and had meals with him. They could look at the wounds in his side, the nail pricks in his hand. They were not being witnesses of some false idea, but reality. And lastly, but not least, since they were be offering to the nation of Israel the hope of all the ages that God would set up a kingdom here, and that kingdom was in prospect, and so he taught them for 40 days concerning the things of the kingdom, what they could expect, and the procedures in the ministry. He laid out the route that they were to take, beginning at Jerusalem and then moving toward Judea and Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts. At that saying, he ascended into the heavens. As we saw last week, they were just standing there more or less with their mouth wide open as they went up. And two angelic beings in the form of men appeared to him and said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, not some spook, but this same Jesus shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. As they returned unto Jerusalem, which was a Sabbath day's journey. They were on the Mount of Olives, about a mile from the Mount of Olives to the city walls of Jerusalem. So that tells us exactly how long a Sabbath day's journey was. You see, the Jew could not travel on a Sabbath day except that very distance, which is about a mile. Now that's where we got to in our story. Now we pick it up. In verse 13, it says, And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room. I was in Jerusalem last summer, and we went into the upper room. And rather what they say was the upper room. I don't know whether it was or not, but anyhow, this is worth going into. It's a rather large room. It's on Mount Zion, just outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Not as it was in those days, but as it is now. It names the 11 of the apostles here in verse 13 that were in that room with them. And then Mary, the mother of our Lord, in verse 14. And the brethren, that's the half-brothers of our Lord. And then other disciples, the total number, verse 15, 120. Now, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, our Lord had said unto Jesus, Matthew 16, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter now begins to exercise that authority. And the first use of the keys of the kingdom are exercised by Peter. Notice the wording again. Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose shall be loosed. Peter begins to speak. Verse 16. You might say in passing too in verse 14, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And this is the last time she's mentioned in the Bible by name. And I want you to note, she's not being prayed to. She's just in the prayer meeting praying herself. And the spokesman, the one in authority of this meeting, as far as the humanist is concerned, is Peter. Now, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now, I want you to get the setting of this. There had been 12 apostles, and Jesus had said, well, just turn to the 19th chapter of Matthew hurriedly, and you see what I'm saying. Matthew 19:28. Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall set in the throne of his glory, ye also shall set upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, one of those 12 had apostatized and had committed suicide. The kingdom was in prospect, and one who was to rule upon one of those thrones was now gone to his own place because of apostasy. Obviously, if you're going to present the kingdom, you have to have those who are to rule upon thrones concerning Israel to be in order. And so Judas has to be replaced. He's replaced, notice, from three different vantage points. First off, by the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Peter. I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose, whatsoever thou shalt bound shall be bound. Now he calls attention to the quotation from the book of Psalms that David wrote under the direction and control of the Holy Spirit as his visible authority as well as his verbal authority. And it's a good procedure. When you speak for God, be sure you have authority. And Peter exercised that authority. He was not talking off the top of his head, but he was exercising the divine authority that was given to him. You see, the Roman Catholic Church built strong on this, and rightly so, if God were dealing with a Roman Catholic Church. But it so happens he's dealing with Israel as a nation. And I don't know of any of those popes or anybody else that's been Jews so far down the line. Maybe they have. I don't know, but I don't know. But that's just what it's all about. You need to keep everything in context, you see. Because their ministry was to none save the sheep, the lost sheep of Israel. Now, everything that Peter did was according to the scripture, according to the energy of the Holy Spirit, and according to the authority that was given unto him. And he begins to tell about it in verse 17. He, that is Judas, was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. And he tells about his committing suicide in verse 18. And he said, this is known all over Jerusalem. This is not something that you don't know about. You're well aware of it. And then he gives his authority from the Bible itself in verse 20, the book of Psalms. Now, two psalms he uses, the 69th psalm in verse 25, if you're keeping the record, and the 109th psalm, verse 8. These two verses are his authority for the replacement of Judas. Some people have thought that Peter made a mistake here. Peter made no mistake. Those who think that Peter did wrong are in themselves in the wrong. You'll notice the qualification for one of those 12. Verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in out among us, notice, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. In other words, if we're going to select somebody to replace Judas, here are the qualifications. He had to begin with us from the baptism of John. He had to be with us all the way to the crucifixion, the resurrection, up to the ascension. That's the qualification. If he was not one of us at that time, he doesn't qualify as one of the 12. Now, they had 120 people there to select from. They found two to meet the standards. Joseph, his name was Barsabbas, and Matthias. Two out of 120. Now, it's another interesting thing about this. As Peter began to speak in verse 14, notice, they were in one accord. Did you ever try to get 120 people in one accord? It's a physical impossibility unless there's something supernatural about it. The Spirit of God or the Spirit of the devil, one way or the other, is the only thing that can control 120 minds to be in one accord. Now, we know from the first chapter of Acts that they were under the control of not the spirit of the devil, but the spirit, the Holy Spirit. There can be mass concentration and control through the evil one, too. But you'll never get 120 people in accord unless there is a spirit moves amongst them that brings this into reality. So you have to make a choice. 120 people in complete accord. We don't have 120 people here. And I'll bet you when you walk out that door that many of you have different opinions about this thing, you see. But if you were in one accord, we'd all agree with everything. The only reason it can be accord is when the Holy Spirit himself controls. That can be accord, then otherwise it cannot be. Because each one of us is made with a volition, a will. We are made in the image of God. And unless the Spirit of God controls, or unless the demonic spirit controls, then the human spirit will control, one way or the other. They were all at one accord. No distinction here. I'm not talking about outward accord. This is real accord. Well, anyway, they found two men that qualified. And they began to pray again. Now, remember, this meeting opened with a prayer meeting. After everything was stated, everything was laid out, they began to pray again because they had a job to do. There could be no partiality here. You couldn't say, well, I'm going to vote for Joseph because he's my old buddy. I can't vote for Matthias because I don't like that fellow anyway. Got nothing to do with it. This is how the officers were selected, replaced for that authority. And they prayed. And then they followed the procedure of Scripture. They drew lots. Now, in the Old Testament time, when we're not going back and read them because there are so many occasions, when God wanted to decide between two people or to divide the land and the children of Israel, they drew lots. And God caused the hand to move toward the lot that he desired. And Peter knew this. Now, a lot of people are wrong and said, well, Peter had no business to of gambling to see who was going to, one of the two, I get to a name, draw a name out of the hat. But this was the procedure that God instructed Israel to deal with. Exactly. And you always get the right one if you do that. And there can be no biased opinion about that. See, you can't say, well, I like this fellow, so I'll take him. No, not at all. They put the two names in the hat. I don't know whether they put in the hat or not, but. And they drew lots. And they prayed about it. And God drew the one he wanted. And he drew Messiah. And he was numbered, verse 26, with the 12. Now, as I said, those who want to criticize Peter said, well, he made a mistake. Paul is to be the 12th apostle. You turn to 1 Corinthians, you see how false. They don't listen to Paul's testimony. Fifteenth chapter, 1 Corinthians. We begin reading at verse 3. Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Notice, everything in the death of Christ was fulfilled in Scripture. Was the fulfillment of Scripture. Even to the gambling for his clothes, or his coat, at the foot of the cross. Everything about it, little detail, was all fulfilled. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day, notice, according to the Scripture. He didn't just have a resurrection, he was resurrected according to the Scripture. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, even so must the Son of Man be three days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Right on schedule. And he was seen of Peter, then of the 11. No, of the 12. You see, Judas did not observe the resurrection. He committed suicide when Christ went to the tree. While they were leading Christ to the cross, Judas went out and hanged himself. He did not observe the resurrection. But the 12 did. Matthias is one of those 12, you see. He was seen of the 12. And after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain under the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. There were other apostles besides the 12. And lastly, of all, notice, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul did not see the Lord Jesus Christ until about 7 years after the crucifixion. And that was on that lonely road to Damascus, where our Lord Jesus Christ reached down and apprehended the Apostle Paul. Then for the first time, the Apostle Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was never one of the 12. He did not qualify in the first place. Secondly, he was not called to the nation Israel per se. He was called the Gentiles. It's interesting in passage. There are 12 apostles who are the ministers of the circumcision to the nation of Israel. There are 8 apostles who are the ministers of the uncircumcision to the nation. Paul is the spokesman of the 8. Peter is the spokesman of the 12. As we said a little while ago, I'll say this, little satire. If Rome wanted to pick a pope, they picked the wrong one. They should have got Paul, not Peter. Because Paul was a minister to the Gentiles. Peter was a minister to Israel. They picked the wrong one. Because Peter has no authority at all toward the Gentiles. He has plenty of authority toward Israel. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. In any case, it should settle the question. It says in verse 26, and this is the word of God, written by the finger of God, that Matthias was numbered with the 11. And then you move into chapter 2, where we're beginning dealing with it in detail next week. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, notice, they were what? There's been a little discord. No, it doesn't say that. They were still all of one accord. And they were still where? In one place. That was, let me tell you, that's 10 days in there. That's quite a prayer meeting. It went on for 10 days. And there was complete accord all the way. Nobody got up and said, well, I think this is a better plan. Everybody went right along. It was all in accord, you see. In one place and one accord. Now, it's interesting, too, that the Spirit of God would choose the day of Pentecost to send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Because this was one of three Jewish feast days in which every male Jew was required to be present. And so, as a result of this, and we'll be seeing this in more in detail next week, Jerusalem was filled with Jews from all over the world. It wasn't just the local constituents. They were there from everywhere. We got just a minute or two. Let's just take a quick look at those, what we're dealing with. Now, you remember that Jesus in the first chapter told them to remain in Jerusalem until they be endued with on high by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, chapter 2, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set upon each of them. And that's been quite an experience to be there, I'll tell you. All of a sudden, they're in this room, and the wind just begins to whistle through. And each one looks, and there's a dot of fire on top of each one of them. You see, Israel always is dealt with in signs and miracles and wonders. The difference is, look on that ball again. I called your attention to that many times. They walk by how? By sight. How do we walk? By faith. You see, if you listen to what God really says, you should never be confused. Keep everything in proper context. You have no problem. If you don't, you have contradictions. Everything runs smooth, orderly. If you're in accord with the Holy Spirit, He directs. That's what Jesus said. It is expedient for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. If I go away, I will send Him. And when He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall take of mine and show it unto you. He will guide you into all truth. As we said at the outset, work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you, both the will to do of His good pleasure. You see? Thank you. They're here, and now this mighty wind comes in. Incidentally, the word wind and the word spirit are the same Greek word. Now, why Jesus even used that to illustrate? He said, you hear the wind, you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. You can't see it. You know when it's been there. Likewise, the Spirit of God. When he came into that room, then to let them know what was happening, like a cloven tongue, it lighted upon each one. And you know, verse 4 says, they were all filled. That word filled means to be controlled. They were controlled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were men dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. There were two reasons for them being there. Now, just touch on it. I'll pick it up next Sunday to give you more in detail. One was that every male was required to be there because of the Feast of Pentecost. Number two, there were many souls that were looking at that time for Messiah's coming. That's why they were there. To show you that there were looking, some looking, look at, if you will, the book of Luke, chapter 2. Verse 25, this just speaks of one man, but the next verse says something else. Verse 25, Luke 2. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Verse 38. This is a woman now. That was a man. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked. Notice, to all that looked. For what? For the redemption in Jerusalem. So it was a time when the Spirit of God had moved people to expect Messiah. It was a time when it was required that every male child be in Jerusalem. That's why you have these Jews from all over the world at this particular time, right there. That's the time when the God chose to send down the Holy Spirit. That's the time when he performed a miracle of allowing each one of that 120 to speak in a language that would accommodate all those Jews from all over the world. At that time, the Jewish language was a dead language. Only the priesthood and a few people could even read Hebrew, like the Jews today. Very few Jews in America understand or can read their own language. Now, I recognize that they do take the Jewish boys, and during the first 12 years of their life, they do learn something of Hebrew. But by and large, the Jewish people in America do not know the Jewish language. Now, in Israel today, they're learning to speak it. But then, like now, as far as the language is concerned, being spoken by everybody, it was a dead language. Consequently, these Jews coming from all over the world, the only way you could address them was to address them where they could understand it, in their own language. This is why the Spirit of God poured out of himself into the minds of these people in different languages. This is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as was promised in Mark 16. You read that last week, one of the authorities. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with us new tongues. Here's the evidence of it. Why don't we do that? Well, there are a lot of people claim it today, too. We'll see. We'll take a look at that, too, next week, but not now. Well, I want you to see, this is the setting of the thing. Now, keep the thoughts in mind. What we've seen so far is that the ministry is strictly Jewish. It's part of what tradition has to say. That's what it's all about. If we read the right, what God says. And, beloved, let me tell you this. God is not the author of confusion, but theologians are, and none of them agree with each other. I know I've sat with them, and they don't even agree with each other. So how can they have what God wants? To see? But the book is always the same. It remains the same. Amen. You can read. God gives you volition to understand and to exercise. And one day you will meet him face to face if you're his child. And it won't do any good to say, well, that's what Max said. It won't do a bit of good. It won't do any good to say that's what the Pope said. It won't do any good to say that's what Billy Graham said. Don't mean a thing. You're mature people. You're full grown. It's written to you. Begin to exercise the very thing that God made you to be in his image. Not a puppet, but a free man. Think about that. That's what real freedom is, beloved, when you can stand on your own two feet. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the fellowship. May the Holy Spirit now warm our hearts to our high calling. And we see that in this weak earthen vessel, you've entrusted such magnitude of thought. We just stagger. And yet, we rejoice with thanksgiving for this grace. If by chance there is somebody here who does not know Jesus, but never received him as their personal Savior, may the Holy Spirit now move in our midst into the heart. Give that one a troubled outlook until they come to rest in Jesus. But to your own, bless in this service in a very special way, that our efforts will not be in vain, but that they will accomplish your purpose. Thank you for attending this, Father, because we ask this grace here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.